Steve has created a forum that is a space for people to have a conversation about this podcast and about anything and everything related to the unsolved murder of Matt Stewart. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to branch out from the podcast a little bit. It really, my vision for this project really has been to reignite interest in this case and to get it out there. And I've known all along that the podcast will maybe be a tool to do that, but it's much bigger than the podcast. It's much bigger than me. And hopefully it just grows from here.
Thanks, Freddie. So as Freddie said, I'm the moderator of the Unforgotten Forums, which are located at unforgotten.freeforums.net. We're a free forum unaffiliated with a podcast, but working together towards a common goal of helping to find justice for Matt Stewart.
It, of course, will encourage everyone that's listening to get involved in the forum or to post on the forum. What exactly do they have to provide?
Well, if you go to the forum, you need to create an account. In order to create an account, you need to use either one of your social media accounts and link that, or what I recommend is that you use an email address. The only person who will be able to see that email address is myself, but there's no reason you can't create one expressly for use on the forums so that it's unconnected to all of your other things. It'll allow you to be completely anonymous on the forums if you choose. You'd pick a username of your own. Once you get onto the forum, there's no way to track who you are. You'll be able to post and communicate with others on the forum in whatever way you choose. There's private messages available. You can post publicly, comment on existing threads. There's really no reason why anybody would have to come onto the forum and say who they are, but if you choose to identify yourself, you can certainly do that as well.
And there's multiple threads or multiple pages that people can go into. And if you wouldn't mind giving us a rundown on kind of what each one of those is.
Sure. The forum currently has three boards. The first is a place for people to discuss the case and their thoughts and theories about it. The second one's a place where you can find and discuss some of the documents of the case, such as the medical examiner's report or the 911 log and more. And I'd like to thank you personally for providing me copies of those things to post for people to review. The third board is a place where the episodes of your podcast can be discussed individually, more of a listener board. People can comment on an individual episode or perhaps even see what's coming up on future episodes.
Well, thank you again for taking the time to create this space. Similar podcasts have kind of employed similar tools to get people talking and to get potential leads or just to see what's out there.
Well, as you know from other similar podcasts, the crowdsourcing aspect of anything like this is a huge benefit to revealing new and hidden information. Especially with a case like yours, I imagine that many, possibly even most of your listeners are local to the case. These are people that may have important information to share, but they could be uncomfortable sharing the information on a public social media outlet such as Facebook, where they'd be instantly recognizable. And, of course, people always have the option to call the police directly or to call you at the podcast, but both of those things can be intimidating for various reasons. This forum allows people to create an account that gives some level of anonymity and a place to freely discuss different aspects of the case without there being that constant concern that others in the community may be passing judgment on them. So I've been in contact with quite a few of your listeners. We've discussed different aspects of the podcast and the case. It's always entertaining to learn more about the podcast itself and the creator. They've given me a few questions that I'd like to ask you if you have the time.
Sure.
We've heard the story of how you're connected with the case, having lived in the area at the time of the murder and going to the same school as Matt's daughter. That certainly gives you a unique perspective on everything, but why a podcast and why now?
I was introduced to podcasts by my older brother a couple years ago, and he had taken my phone and downloaded Serial. And I was hooked immediately. I thought it was super interesting. A few months later, I went on a long train trip, and I knew I was going to have hours to kill. And I downloaded an entire series about a cold case of a missing woman in Georgia. Come to find out that the person that was doing the podcast was able to come into this situation where this person had been missing for 10 years. He started talking to people, talking to relatives, talking to just people that lived in the town. And he was able to bring new life to the case. But what really solidified my drive seeing this project happen was at the end of the podcast, Up and Vanished, there was actually progress out of nowhere. It seemed like there was an arrest made, and it really was the podcast that got people talking again, and there was justice. Thinking back to being 16 years old and having this terrible thing happen kind of in the vicinity of where I was in this little Christian school, and having, you know, people that I knew and loved going through this terrible tragedy where there are just no answers. And I remember thinking, you know, someone's got to do something like this for the Matt Stewart murder. So I began this quest of trying to get a podcaster or a documentary maker or someone to do a similar project. So I spent a couple months reaching out to news outlets, friends that I knew that made documentaries. I figured that to really give them a picture of the case, I'd have to do a little bit of research of my own. And when I did that, I realized just how little is out there on this case. As the bunch went on, I didn't get really any response back. And I think it's because of that lack of any information almost on this murder, or hadn't been reported on at that point in like 5 years. I began to realize kind of gradually that if I wanted to see this thing happen, it would have to be me to do it. So that's kind of how it all materialized.
Obviously, it's an open investigation and you don't have any access to the police files. Have you found it difficult to get information on the case?
Yes, very much so. It's like a wild goose chase sometimes. To rely on the testimony of individuals can be challenging, having to corroborate things that people tell you. I think with anything, with any kind of relying on memory or human experience, there's going to be holes in things. There's going to be people remembering things differently. So you have situations where there's contradictory testimony, and having to sift through all of that has been super challenging. And then, you know, on top of that, having people that are willing to talk with me at all. I mean, there's for every person that you hear on the podcast, there are maybe a dozen more that have spoken with me, but have said, I don't feel comfortable going on record, or I don't even feel comfortable having my voice recorded and then altered. People are afraid. So yes, it's been super challenging.
What about threats? We know that unless the killers die since the murder, there's one or more people out there capable of killing and with a vested interest in keeping you from the truth. Have you encountered any resistance to what you're trying to do?
Yes. I've received calls, people expressing that they wish that I would stop doing the podcast. And I wouldn't say threats. That's probably too specific, but definitely been intimidation, uncomfortable conversations. I'll leave it at that.
Are you worried for your safety or that someone might try to shut you down?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, we have this thing in the United States of America called the First Amendment, which is kind of hard to argue with. So I'm not that worried about being shut down, I guess. I think there's a lot of precedent. When there's a murder that happens, people ask questions. Reporters go and report on what happened, and the public is very interested. I think we all have this kind of innate sense about us that when an injustice like that happens, we want to see those wrongs righted in whatever way they can be. So I think that I'm digging into something that I know is very tender and very difficult for some to relive. But in terms of being shut down, I don't really see how that would be possible.
I can't think of any way to make your investigation blow up faster than the media attention that would be generated by someone trying to shut you down. Every other true crime podcast out there would love to rally their vast audiences to the defense of another podcast who's under siege for doing exactly what they do.
You know, if anything, it's strengthened my resolve to get to the truth here, especially knowing that at this point, aside from the forum, the podcast is the only outlet that is still covering this case. So until the story kind of breaks again, other reporters going after this thing, which I think there will be, I'm not giving up.
I had read an article about you not too long ago that seemed to suggest the podcast was scheduled for 5 episodes. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So when I first started the podcast, I didn't really know exactly what all it would take to do this thing. So I wanted to set some sort of time, and I wanted to basically, the plan was to do 5 30-minute episodes released once a month, recorded in that month. So if there's any information or things that pop up, if I got any leads, I could include them in the podcast, which I've done and will continue to do. So after the 5th episode, basically what I've said, and it continues to be true, that until there's momentum on the case, other people looking into it, reporters, any sort of progress with the investigation, I'm going to continue until there's momentum like that. So the plan as of now, I'll continue with the 5-episode schedule. In October will be the 5th episode, and I suppose what you could say the season finale, but definitely open to continuing to do these kind of question and answer, maybe things outside of the 30-minute episode realm to keep it going. But if there's not the momentum to reignite the flames of interest, then I'll start again in February of 2019 and continue with 5 more episodes leading up to the 10-year anniversary of the murder. So that's the tentative plan right now.
I think the question and answer follow-up episode idea is a great one. Many similar podcasts use that to great effect, and it gives the listeners the opportunity to interact more directly with the podcast. To that end, I'll start a thread on the forum where people can ask specific questions for use on the podcast if you decide you want to work through some episodes like that. Well, I've got a number of questions for you myself about the case, specifically about the night of the murder and the popularly reported version that the media had gotten hold of. Perhaps we could set up something where we talk through that and
see how
something like that works. It might be something that's a little less intensive in terms of production work for you and something that can fill in the gaps between your first season and your second season.
Absolutely. I'd love to set that up.
Well, I want to thank you for the opportunity to question you like this. I think your listeners are interested to find out a little bit more about who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. So it was great to have you answer some of our questions.
Now, thank you for your interest and for setting up this forum. I mean, you reached out to me in an email just like a month or so ago asking if there was anything that you could do to help. And from that, it sparked this idea for this forum and question and answer episode. There are likely people out there that are listening that are thinking, wow, I'd love to be involved in this, but I'm not sure how, or I'm not sure I could be effective, or that my help is needed. The truth is that it is needed, and you can be effective. This is kind of a grassroots effort. Neither of us have any expertise or any experience in this. We're not like sitting on a pile of money or anything. We're just doing this with what little we have. So if there are people that are listening that want to do research, that want to do anything to contribute to helping with this, I would definitely encourage them to do that. You know, at the very least, using your voice to help get this out there